Hi, and welcome to the 10 Minute Techie Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Westcott.
Episode 49, Researching, Part 4, Copyright, Plagiarism, and all of those kinds of things, starts now. Kia ora koutou and welcome to this week's episode of the 10 Minute Techie. This week is our last part four of our researching series, and we're looking at all things copyright, plagiarism, attributions, referencing, citing, bibliographies, infringement, you name it. We're going to talk a little bit about it, unpack some of those terms, and I'll give you some top tips for how you can explicitly teach this to your kids and what some kind of tips and tricks are to get them on the right track when it comes to all these bits and bobs. So first things first, we're going to look at some vocab that you might want to teach to your kids and unpack with your kids, or just for your own knowledge, that have come into the light as we have grown in this more digital world where information is just readily available for anyone to access, take, change, copy, all of the above within the internet. So there is a bit of a whole heap of vocab really that sits within this space. So I'm going to go through a few. So the first one I'm going to go through is copyright. So those are the rights that creators have over their work, so their literary and artistic work. And this can be quite official. It can also be a little more relaxed. When I say relaxed, there is a organization called Creative Commons. Put the link in the show notes, and basically that helps people to understand what other people can do with their work. So basically you can create a Creative Commons license, which then gives people that are using your work a standardized way to know what permissions they have, so whether someone is allowed to just attribute it and use it, copy it, distribute it, make copies, make changes. And this is quite important because I think, and especially in the teaching world, there's nothing really that new, right? And as we see people becoming content creators and creating things and putting them out into the internet, onto the online space, there can be some really odd lines. And that leads into the next definition that I have, which is intellectual property. And intellectual property sort of refers to the rights basically over what comes from your mind, right? So it's such a gray area, but this often relates to like trade secrets. So for example, if I was working in a company and I learned all the stuff in the company, made all the stuff in a company, I can't then go and start up my own company with all of those things. Quite a tricky one in teaching, because you often see teachers making stuff for their school and then like selling it, which technically kind of infringes on that, but your schools are never going to chase you up for that. So quite a lucky little space there for some. And then that kind of leads on to the infringement idea. So infringement is when someone sells unlicensed copies of someone else's original work. We see that in the art space quite a bit. Another one is sort of taking people's photos that they've taken and putting it into a commercial space. So yeah, it can be really tricky, but really good to know, because like I said, anyone can make a website, anyone can make a resource, anyone can make a poster, anything now. And so it's just knowing where to get stuff from that you can use that's not going to create an infringement. The chances of getting caught if you do is really, really slim, but I think it's really important that we at least get kids to think before they use, so that they're really aware of that down the line. So you can't just take a picture of The Simpsons and make a Simpsons, I don't know why I'm using The Simpsons, but I'm going to roll with it, a Simpsons, resource, and then sell it, because that photo, that picture of The Simpsons is not your work. Even if you credit it, it's not your work, because there'll be copyright rights on that say you cannot reproduce this and then sell it. When we look into sort of the research space, we've got plagiarism, which is basically representing another author's work as your own. All right, so that's our big copy and paste space. And then we get into, well, how do we acknowledge, you know, because we can't always come up with brand new ideas, and research is about finding information and synthesizing it. So things like attribution, we are acknowledging where that's coming from. So you're paying respect and credit to those who came before. Citing and citation is basically an example of attribution. So it's the way that you tell your readers or your viewers where that material came from. And then referencing is about giving credit with a citation and telling the reader or the reader where that information is actually coming from. And we do that through a reference list. You've probably heard of APA referencing, which we all did to death at university, but that is still very, very relevant, and very relevant when we think of our kids coming through. If they're going to be going into a research kind of space, even at high school. And then bibliography. So a bibliography is kind of the old school version of a reference list, but it's still quite relevant because it's about a list of sources that you have used when you are preparing it. So it may not necessarily be where you've quoted specifically, but it's just what has been used to inform your work. So kind of like very slight differences, right, in between them, but worthwhile definitions to explore when you are explicitly and exploring this with your students. Well, that was a really long piece. Okay, the next piece we're going to go into is some top tips. So one way that I teach my students how to reference, I guess, or cite or attribute is by whatever information they find. So as they're gathering their information, so start a Google Doc. You can copy and paste, I say to them, if you must or want to, and put the piece of, like, the sentence or the piece of text you like or want, and then in one column, so create a table, and one column is just like the words and the ideas, and then in the next column, just put in the website URL. You could build on that with older students by getting them to put in the author and the name of the article or the name of the web page. That would continue to build that. If they are then going to use that word for word in their piece of writing or on their slideshow, whatever it might be, then I just get them to put it in quotation marks. There's no shame in copy and paste, but there's shame, that's not the right word, but you just can't take it and put it in and not acknowledge that it's not yours word for word. This kind of leads on to, as I mentioned in the last episode, about using videos as a really great way for research, because you can't copy and paste the words from a video. The kids have to be able to interpret that, take notes, figure out the main messages, and then they can still credit back to the video. Practice, practice, practice. We do it in literacy a little bit, where we get kids to read and summarize. We get kids to work out what the key points are or the key words are, and this is really just an extension of that. And so it's about trying to get your kids to identify what the keywords are. I was supporting a student with a science paper they were writing for NCA and NCA internal, and it was really hard because the science internal wanted them to basically describe a physics concept in their own words, and that is so hard, like really hard when you think about it, because science is really hard to put into your own words. It's different when you're in like a creative field like English, where you're like, oh, I guess the main character in Pride and Prejudice was feeling really angry and did it. You know, you can kind of express that. But when it comes to some things, sometimes someone's actually said it exactly how you need to say it. And that's where I encourage kids to use the quotation marks and just let me know where it came from. Another piece to this is when we have students making slideshow presentations or iMovies or videos to share and present their learning. And in these two formats, right, you've got pictures, you've got videos, you've got music potentially, you've got sound effects, and that too needs to be referenced, or it needs to be taken from somewhere that is free to use. So a couple of my go-to free to use websites for images is Photos for Class. Okay, so it's not every single image you can find on Google Images, which is way easier because you're like in Google Slides and you can just go insert image from the web and you just type in cats and you can find thousands of pictures of cats. Yes, you can do that, but actually if we're teaching kids to find free-to-use images, which is really good practice, Then we need to use something like Photos for Class. Another one is Pixabay. Another one is Pexels. Good thing about Photos for Class is it's a bit PG, you know, so it has photos on it that are more kid friendly, whereas Pexels and Pixabay, you know, kids could type in words and find interesting images. Nothing major, but just, you know, on the edge images, if you like. So those are some really good ones to think about when you're getting kids to create presentations that they're then going to present or share online. I mean, in-house, you can use images, you know, whatever you want. No one's going to infringe you for that. But when I encourage when students are making presentations for presenting to audiences or sharing online or publishing out, you know, out into the world, or if they're making films or videos or movies that are going to be seen by people outside of your classroom, your four walls, then I highly recommend that they use some of those sites. Another little trick in Google, so if you are in Google Images, so if you just go to Google Images and you search and you click on images and you search for, let's say, cats, there is a little drop down where it says tools. Where it says tools, it drops down and then there's an arrow that you can click on next to something called usage rights. So this is how we use it. And then you can choose between Creative Commons licenses and commercial and other licenses. So in this case, I get students to choose Creative Commons license because that means that every image mostly that comes up is relatively free to use. And I explain that with images, it's about acknowledging that someone has gone out and taken that photo, their time and their effort. And, you know, with Creative Commons or free to use, they have chosen how people can use their images, or they have been already paid for those images. Or that images that are not copyright, like a picture of Harry Potter is copyright. A picture of The Simpsons is copyright. You cannot use that as your own work, but you can use it if you reference where you got that image from. Because if you're doing a presentation on cartoons that began in the 90s, I don't even know when it started, but you know, then you need to use images of The Simpsons. And so it would be about finding an image, but then getting the website URL and crediting that that image came from there. That would be a great starting point. When it comes to music and sound effects for, say, video making or stop motion or something like that, you can't take Justin Bieber's top hit and put it in your video. Again, copyright. So where I encourage students to get sounds from is a website called Bend Sound. If you're on something like Canva or on something like iMovie, the sounds and music in those two and more apps or programs have already, like the people that put them on there have already been paid for that work. So they are free to use. You know, we're also in the space where people are making TikTok videos based on like viral sounds or TikTok videos made with like hits behind them, but that's because those artists again have been paid for those that work to be on there and used and shared freely. Just something to think about. You don't have to be like super, you know, onto it with it with these kids. Like, you don't have to ban them from using all music they like, but it's about the kids being aware that this is how it works, I suppose. So you can create your own boundaries and lines within your classroom. I'm just giving you some of the boundaries and lines that are out there. Okay, that's all I've got time for this week. So I hope you got something out of that. Again, I've put some links and resources and attributions in the show notes so that you can check them out if you want to dive a bit deeper. And yeah, that's the end of our researching series. So I hope you enjoyed, and we will catch you next time, next week, for something completely new, which I haven't decided what it is yet, but it'll be great. All right, see you next Tuesday. Bye.